back to Uncommon Faith. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Amber.
Hi, Amber.
Hi.
It's different not seeing your face.
I know. I'm sorry.
At least it doesn't even like make a like as if you're talking. It's just a straight
roll. I know. It's mm-hmm. weird.
Okay, so today we have a very special guest, my friend Jessica Shoemake. And I said that right?
Shoemake, yeah, you're good.
Yeah, okay. It'd be real awkward if I said it wrong. Well, welcome, Jessica. So, Jessica and I have been friends for five, six years, I would say.
Yeah, about that. We moved to Georgia, yeah, when Alexa was in third grade.
And now they're about to be in high school.
Right? Just registered.
No, I don't
this
like
week.
That. No.
For us.
Yeah. Yeah, Amber's got a senior. So she's like, I'm on my way out.
Thank Jesus.
But yeah, so Jessica has a very interesting story, and we wanted to give her the platform to share that to help others and all the things that she's doing now. So go ahead and introduce yourself and, you know, kind of a little bit about you and your story.
Well, my name is Jessica, and my husband and I are originally from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and we have two daughters. Our oldest is Alexa. She's 13, and our youngest is Afton. She's 7. Our story starts long before Afton was born, but it's the easiest place to pick up. Afton was born in 2015. Medically speaking, we had a normal pregnancy. She was born via C-section, mainly because she was breech, but also I had had another C-section. And so, they really were not concerned. Afton was born like 8 pounds, 12 ounces, a beautiful baby. I did have an experience, the first night that we were in the hospital. I remember it was dark and it was late at night, and I remember hearing what sounded to me like a choking sound. And to this day, I don't know how, if you've had a C-section, how I jumped up and grabbed her, but somehow I like sat up in my bed and mm-hmm. grabbed her, and it was dark, and I remember I could not see her face, but I remember I was moved by how still she was, but she was breathing and she seemed fine, and the rest of the night was fine, but it was disturbing enough to me that I mentioned it to her nurse the next day. And if I remember correctly, I kind of gave her the excuse, like, I know C-section babies can cough up stuff and, you know, that kind of thing. And she felt, you know, sure that that's what it was. So they sent us home 2 days after the second day after she was born. And we had been home. I think we had been left the hospital for about 5 hours, and, I went to feed Afton. She was breastfeeding. And, you know, newborn babies are just soft. Like, every part of their body is just soft. And the thing that always stands out to me about, you know, these episodes that would happen when she was a newborn was that her entire body just became hard. It was like every muscle in her body just hardened. And she pushed herself away from me. And I felt like she was holding her breath. And so I sat her up and I patted her back and looked at her face. I could tell that her face was starting to turn white. She was not breathing appropriately. And then she started to breathe again. But what struck me as odd was that she didn't gasp for air. You know, if you weren't breathing, you would expect this, you know, sudden gasp of air, or especially a newborn to cry mm-hmm. or want to finish feeding. But none of that happened. She just went to sleep. It bothered me enough, being a second time mom, knowing this is not a normal thing, that I called the hospital. I asked to speak to one of the nurses in the nursery. They kind of felt sure she maybe had just choked. I explained, like, that she didn't finish eating. There was no crying. You know, they said choking can be exhausting for a newborn, but also encouraged me, if I felt like anything was wrong, I could bring her in, but that I would have to bring her in through the ER. My husband is a worrier. Serious worrier. I am the calm one in the marriage. And so I didn't really want to say anything to him. to get him worked up. Mm-hmm. But I remember we put Alexa to bed. She was six at the time. And I remember I was had fed her again, and she was fine. And I remember expressing to him that I just felt a little uncomfortable. I wanted to keep a close eye on her. And she was wrapped in a swaddle. And she took that little newborn arm and just busted through that swaddle. And her whole body was just rigid. And I watched her eyes roll back in her head. And her lips turned blue, and I knew, like, something is seriously wrong. So I just remember leaving the room because I did not want Chad to see her, and I said, go get Alexa, get her up, we're going to the ER. And I just remember holding her the whole way there because I just didn't think she was breathing. I thought she might die. So we got to the ER. We had to wait for several hours because we drove in instead of calling an ambulance. Call an ambulance. Don't drive into a busy ER. When they took her back, I was explaining what happened. And I said, it happens every time I feed her, like either while I'm feeding her or right after I'm feeding her. And so she had woken up, she was crying, and the nurse said, well, feed her. And as soon as I started to feed her, it happened again. And she just ripped her out of my arms and left the room with her. And when she came back with an ER doctor. And the first thing he said to me is, it's my belief that she's having seizures. And we're not equipped to handle her. We have to send her to the Children's Hospital. I've called for the helicopter. I don't remember much after that. It's a little vague. I was in my pajamas that I left the hospital in, my navy pajamas that I had bought for birthing my daughter. That's what I was in. We had to drive. We couldn't ride with her. There were just bits and pieces. I remember nurses in the hospital just would stop. They wouldn't even walk when the helicopter team got there. It was like a life flight, and they wanted me to, like, put her in this little clear box for her to ride in the helicopter. They had taped these headphones to cover her ears. It was just a very somber moment. Everybody was very respectful of our space there. But it just, they never left. And finally, I just looked at my husband. I said, we need to leave because this is a 30-minute flight for her, and it's an hour and a half drive for us. And I feel like that was the first time in, like, our parenting with Afton that we knew we had to make a hard decision for her best interest. And we turned and we left. And that was one of the hardest things, was just to, like, leave her in that hallway like that. I remember I couldn't listen to anything the whole way to the hospital except for Christian music. I could not talk to my husband. I could not listen to anything else. We got to the hospital, went into the children's ER, and everything. Time just, like, slips away from you during that point. We ended up being admitted. We were there for 10 days while they worked to try to diagnose her and control her seizures. We were put in PQ because once you've been released from the hospital, you can't go to the NICU, even though she was just a few days old. Once you've been released from the hospital, you can't go into the NICU anymore. So she was in PQ, and so the doctors and nurses would come by to see the beautiful newborn baby because it was kind of unusual to have one so young, like, in PQ. And she was beautiful and had no outward, you know, signs that anything was going on. We left the hospital with a false diagnosis. We thought that she had some kind of vitamin deficiency, and so we were treating her for that. They had given her multiple anti-seizure medications in those 10 days while we were there, and so they began to wean her off of those. And so this happened in August, and right after Thanksgiving, she had a seizure at home upstairs in her crib, and it was what... most people would be familiar with the term grand mal seizure. The technical term for it is, like, a tonic-clonic seizure. That's what they refer to them as now. She was only 3 months old. But when I asked the neurologist, like, why was this one so much more violent? And he said, it's so interesting because everyone uses that word, violent. And it's because her brain is more awake. And so the seizure is affecting more of her brain and more of her body. And so we kind of battled seizures for the next month after that. And then we finally got a diagnosis when she was 6 months old. She has a genetic condition called KCNQT. And KCNQ2 basically is a gene, and if it is mutated or in any kind of way, it affects the protein channels in the brain. And so when the protein channels in the brain are not working properly, sometimes they're too large, too small, missing, you know, things like that, it can cause like excessive electrical signals within the brain that can lead to seizures. And so that's what was going on, that we've been treating her. We were able to like stop the seizures after that point with some proper medication. She was seizure free for a couple of years. We moved to Georgia right after she turned two, and I suspected at that time that there were some issues with language. We had been told that they really didn't know if she would have deficits. A lot of kids with KCNQ2 have really poor muscle tone. They can be in wheelchairs, on feeding tubes. It's as wide a range as probably autism. That's a good kind of like explanation of it. You know, you can be very mildly affected or very greatly affected by autism, and KCNQ2 is in the same way like that. So they didn't know where on the spectrum she would fall. There's also a concern of like medication can cause different things. So we suspected there was an issue with her language when we moved to Georgia. But after we got to Georgia, she started to have kind of a decline, what I would call a regression, in a lot of just behaviors and sleeping patterns and things like that. Her seizures did come back that summer, and we made some changes in medication. And the good news is that she's been seizure-free for 3 years now, and she's been off, 4 years. She's been seizure-free for 4 years, and she's been off all of her meds for almost 2 years. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
She is.
The major ups and downs, because obviously, you know, she's the same age as Caleb, yeah. About the same age. Yeah. You know, they're in school.
Sure.
Like, how does that work for you guys?
Well, Afton is considered she has a global delay. I mean, she's delayed in pretty much every area. And it's been tricky because she's not considered nonverbal because she can memorize songs and books and TV shows and things like that, but she doesn't have any communicative language or very, very little. So we can't ask questions or have conversations or, discipline, you know, give simple instructions and say, do you understand this? And have her say yes. And then say, you didn't do what we said. Do you understand, you know, the consequences, those kind of things. That's probably been the biggest struggle for me, is the conversation piece of it. She attends a public school. She is in like a class that is secluded just for, kids who have disabilities or are considered special needs. It's a special education class. So we have an IEP. She gets to push into a traditional class for 30 minutes a day. She receives speech therapy at school. Yeah, but she definitely has a lot of autistic characteristics. And so life with her is just different. She's not a typical child, but she's been such a blessing, and she's changed our lives in the best ways also.
Crazy. Crazy amazing. What a little miracle.
Yeah, she really is.
So what has been the hardest thing for you as a mom of someone with special needs like this?
I think in the beginning it's acceptance. There's a time where you mourn the loss of the child that you thought you were going to have, because you have expectations when you have children. And they're just, you have all these ideas for your child, and the likelihood is that probably that's not going to happen. I would say now some of the hardest things that we struggle with, honestly, are other people. Most of the things that you go to do in life are not accommodating to a child with special needs. Even just going to the grocery store can be a little overwhelming for her. We've really been blessed with several of our local grocery stores, like our Publix here in Richmond Hill. They have what's called a Caroline's cart. And so if you're not familiar with that, it's a chair that sits on the front of your shopping cart where the seat would normally be. But it's a large seat for adults, and the handles will lift up. And so the child or adult or anyone can sit into the large seat. You can strap them in if necessary. But it gives Afton just like some separation from everyone else in the store and all the busyness. We have made small shopping trips where she walks alongside me, and she's pretty good, but it's intimidating. A lot of people close to her, can be really overwhelming. But I would also say just like people's lack of understanding. I just wish that more parents with typical kids would introduce their kids to special needs kids and teach them how to be around them and how to, honestly, you don't even have to teach kids that. If you just explain to them like who they are and what's going on, kids naturally will just be normal. And we've seen that in like our church environment. Our church has really come alongside us and done everything that they can to help Afton stay in the classrooms, so that we can attend church and volunteer and do all of those things. And I help in the children's department sometimes, and I will tell the kids, like, because Afton can't always sit at the table the way that they are, you know, when we're doing lessons and things like that. She may be up, like, eating her snack and playing with toys when I've asked them not to. And so the way that I explain it to them is just that, you know, Afton was sick when she was born. She was made differently. God made her differently. And so we're all just called to do the best that we can do with what God gave us. And her best is this, and your best is something different. And so you just have to allow her to do her best stuff right here, and then we're going to call you to do something different because this is your best. But isn't that true, like, in any aspect of life, too? I mean, we're all created differently, you know, and we all have different talents. And, you know, I think that has been one of the biggest, like, blessings and eye-openers for me just as a mom raising kids. Because with my oldest daughter, she's very intelligent, just, you know, typical kid. And I really pushed her, you know, when she was little, I had this expectation of, you know, perfect grades, and I would push her to do things like that. And I realize now, really accepting a worldview of what success is, that we're going to, you know, go to college and get a high paying job, and the world sets up these things that we do that rates our success, you know, and how valuable we are to society. But God says that we're valuable because we're created in His image. Simply because we're created, we're valuable. And so when we had Afton, it gave me the opportunity to change the conversation in my home. And it was no longer about Alexa reaching this level of success. It was more about her using the gifts that God gave her to her full potential. Talking about doing the best that she can do and what her best is. And instead of what do you want to be when you grow up, the conversation is more like, what do you think the Lord wants you to do with your life? It really gave us more of an eternal focus, and it's enabled us to a lot of freedom to just let go of the box that I feel like the world and society tries to put people in.
I think that's a great point to make that, you know, because, you know, we've obviously had the conversations that it's obviously a huge thing right now with abortion and how people will choose to abort because the child might have, you know, might be special needs or might have Down syndrome or something medically wrong. And they don't realize the not only the joy that they bring to your life, but also of the lessons that they can teach you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, Afton has opened so many doors that we would have never had the opportunity to walk through. I mean, first of all, just the way that I have grown closer to the Lord, there is something to be said for just like appreciation in the small things. I mean, when you can go to bed at night and you can thank the Lord for a new word that your child said, like, those are things that we overlook every day. It's amazing that the blessings that you'll see when you really stop and you're thankful for the small things. But aside from that also, Afton has connected us to people all over the world. KCNQ2 is considered a rare disease. It's like 2.8 babies. I don't know how they come up with that number, but out of like 100,000 a year are born with KCNQ2. And so our community, our online community, we've been able to meet people from all over the world who are all coming to this online forum to just talk to someone who knows what they're walking through. And all our kids are so different, but it's given me the opportunity to be able to say like, hey, I'm here to offer encouragement for you. I'm here to pray for you. It's been a platform for me to share my faith, to say, you know, I believe that God chose you to be the mom of this child, and he is going to equip you to do this job, you know, and you're not alone. I would have never had the opportunity to talk to some people like that, you know, who are all over the world. I'm not traveling all over the world. I'm in Georgia, you know. But also she's been an inspiration. I mean, she is really the reason that I got involved in women's ministry, because it gave me such a passion for women and the hard things that we walk through. I was very fortunate to have some women come alongside me and really minister to me and support me during, you know, some really hard times. It created a passion in me to do that. And so that's really what got me into, you know, I help lead some women's Bible studies. I'm part of like our women's ministry at our church where we get to host events. I'm always being introduced to moms whose kids have epilepsy, because epilepsy is rampant. I mean, the statistics of how many people will have seizures in their lives are like crazy. I don't know why more people don't talk about it. But I can say, legitimately say, hey, I understand. I've been in your shoes. There's light at the end of the tunnel. You know, I get the opportunity to do that for people because Afton's in our life. She's inspired just people getting to know her. People tell me they are better moms. They're more appreciative of their kids. I had a young girl, a teenager, tell me that because of Afton, she's decided that she wants to be a special education teacher. I have another, you know, young lady who is working for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and they have done a lot to try to have their own kind of Special Olympics. And they even have like a social, I don't know what you call it, maybe a social club that meets where they have activities with other special needs, like adults and teenagers in the community. Would she have done those things without knowing Afton? Maybe, but maybe not. I mean, I don't know. She has definitely created a soft spot in a lot of people's hearts and just opened their eyes to people in the community that are often unseen.
Something else that you guys had worked on within the church. Gosh, it was like just a few years ago, right? Like I remember the conversations about it.
We're hosting, Night to Shine through the Tim Tebow Foundation.
Is this the second one?
This is our third one.
The third one.
And this will be our first one indoors because of COVID. So the Tim Tebow Foundation, if you don't know who Tim Tebow is, he's a celebrity. He's a football player, I guess turned celebrity, but he's a very outspoken Christian, and he formed the Tim Tebow Foundation. It's based, it kind of started with the idea his parents were missionaries. And so they were overseas. He met a boy whose legs, when he was born, his legs were backwards. And, it just created that soft spot in him as well to, you know, celebrate these people, because in the country that he was in, you know, there are all these kind of wild beliefs around people born with, you know, disabilities, that the devil is in them, or, you know, weird spirits and things like that. And he's like, no, man, like God created you, you know, and you're loved by God. And so he just really thought, we have to celebrate. We have to let people know that like they're creating God's image and that God loves them. And so we need a night to celebrate them. And so he started Night to Shine, and it's all over the world now, but our church was able to start hosting 3 years ago, their Night to Shine. And our children's director, Gina Vogel, she really has a heart for kids with disabilities, kids in general, but she already, mm-hmm. God had already placed that on her spirit to really have a love for the kids that, you know, were different. And all I said was, hey, have you ever heard of Night to Shine, you know? And that's all it took to get the ball rolling. She does so much work to make that happen. And we have a wonderful team that come alongside her. It's a lot of work. But yeah, February 10th, Night to Shine will be happening all over the world. And it'll be at First Baptist in Richmond Hill this year too. So very excited. We have over 100 guests coming this year. I think our number's up to like 102.
That's just so great to have that in the community. Cause I just remember all the conversations in the hallways of how there's just that desperate need for support for families of special needs children.
Yeah.
And it's just so great to see all that has come to fruition in this time span.
Yeah.
So that gets me all excited.
Yeah, for sure. And his foundation has actually expanded now to trying to rescue people from human trafficking and all kinds of things.
I love that. And Tim Tebow is amazing. Oh my goodness. He's just such an inspiration in himself. Like, that's awesome to be able to have that opportunity.
Yeah, that's really
one
awesome.
Thing you said really stood out to me. The fact that you said how much your daughter has brought you closer in your relationship with God. I just find that so amazing and true. Because people don't realize, they're always like, why me? Why is this happening to me? But you're seeing the positive in it, and that it brought you and gave you a stronger relationship with God. And I experienced the same thing going through what I went through. It's just amazing to know that you can go through some pretty hard stuff and hurt and pain for something so much better. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that you recognize that.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's biblical too. I mean, refinement right. is described as, you know, being molded by fire, and there's nothing comfortable about that. And there's nothing comfortable about refinement. I mean,
right.
But it's through those hard things that the Lord breaks down and strips away, you know, some of that, you know, sinful nature. I mean, it brought us so much humility and, just so much reliance on Him. I mean, you know, you guys both have walked through hard things. And when you are in a situation that you have no control over, there is so much comfort in knowing that someone is in control, though, and that they have your best interest at heart, you know? And again, like I said, just like an eternal focus also that, you know, whatever struggles that we have on this earth, they're so temporary. I mean, scripture tells us that this life is but a vapor. It's just over in the blink of an eye, but eternity is forever. And I know that my daughter will be whole in eternity. And so whatever we have to walk through here is just short term, you know? And so we just want to use whatever we can to glorify the Lord while we're here. And that's just really our goal.
You're gonna make me cry.
No tears. We almost made it.
No worries.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. And I do want to say, like, if anyone is interested, KC&Q2 Cure Alliance. They do lots of great research and funding to help just like find better treatments for kids. So if anyone's interested in that, you can go to that. We actually do a fundraiser too every other year. So on Afton's odd birthdays, we make t-shirts and we sell them, and all the profits go to KC&Q2 Cure Alliance, just to help raise funds and research and pay for therapies and things like that. So
good to know. Is there websites and things for that?
KCNQ2 Cure Alliance definitely has a website. If anyone wants to get on my Instagram, it's Little House in the Hill. And I always post about our fundraiser when it comes around. So this year we'll be doing shirts. I'll probably start in the summer right before her birthday. It's in August. So
awesome. We will definitely share the links in the Instagram for that.
It's little underscore house underscore in underscore the underscore hill.
I'm pretty sure you can just put it all together and find me.
Possibly. I think you might be the only one that comes up, hopefully. So people are totally, you're welcoming people to reach out to you.
Yeah.
If they, you know, need encouragement or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah, for sure. My Instagram is public for that reason. I get new moms that message me and they want to know Afton's story because I think they look at Afton. Afton is very physically able for her condition. And so they look at her and they, that's their hope. And so they want to know her story and want to know how we got to where we are, how, where we are now, but it's just through the Lord. I didn't do anything special.
Yeah.
He just blessed us with that. But yeah, I'm always open to talk to people, and just share our experience.
Yeah. All right. Awesome.
Okay.
Well, you can find me at ashley.reed and you can find us both at Uncommon Faith Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. And you can email us at uncommonfaithpodcast@gmail.com. Where can they find you, Amber?
You can find me on Instagram at Amber_N_G.
We got the underscore sisters today.
It's okay. I forgot my name for a minute.
Yeah, it's been a day, a week, a month, all those things. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on and sharing your story and Afton's story with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Well, until next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.